Then Allah says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى. Allah destroys interest. وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. And He gives increase for charities. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ أَثِيمٍ. And Allah does not like every sinning disbeliever. يَمْحَقُ. يَمْحَقُ is from مَحْق. مِيم حَا قَاف. And مَحْق literally means إِزَالَة. It means to wipe off something, to efface something, to reduce something, to waste it. This is the literal meaning of the word mahq. And mahq can be tangible and it can also be intangible. Tangible, that literally, physically, something that is tangible is removed, it is destroyed, it is wasted. And in the intangible sense, mahq is that something is deprived of blessing. Something is destroyed in the sense that it is deprived of blessing. For example, you have a cup of water. Physically, what does mahq mean? That water is wasted. For example, you throw it. And intangible mahq is that you drink it, and despite drinking it, your thirst has not been quenched. Despite the fact that it was a big glass, it was a big cup, it was a huge mug, there was no barakah in it. There was no blessing in it. This is the meaning of the word mahq. And it's derived from the word mahaq, which is when the moon disappears from its matla, from its rising place, in the last days of the month, that it is there, but you can't see it. So, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys interest. How? In the tangible sense, and also in the intangible sense. وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. And He increases the sadaqat. Before that, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy interest? In three ways. First of all, by making it haram. By making it unlawful. Obviously, if it's going to be unlawful for all the Muslims, then what does it mean? That a place where the Muslims truly follow their deen, there is going to be no interest. It's going to be destroyed. Mahq, it's izala, it's finished, it's wiped off. Interest is wiped off. How? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making it haram, by making it unlawful. Secondly, by eliminating the blessing in the money that is acquired through interest. That a person has a lot of money, he has a big house that he got on mortgage, but there's no barakah. He has a lot of money, but there's no barakah. And thirdly, that a person with the money that he has acquired through interest, when he tries to spend it in charity or otherwise, he gets no reward for it. We know that when a person makes money through halal and when he feeds it to his family, then he gets reward for every morsel that he feeds his family. Isn't it? But if a person earns a lot of money through interest, and with that he's building a masjid, a whole lot of money, he's spending, but he will not get any reward for it, because يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى. وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. And he increases the sadaqat. Yurbi is from رَابَ وَاوْ, same root as the word riba. What does riba mean? Increase. Now it is something natural in the human beings. They want their money to increase. They want their wealth to increase. When a person tries to increase his money through haram ways, it doesn't actually increase. Even though apparently it may seem that it's increasing, but it doesn't actually increase. In reality, it doesn't. What actually increases is sadaqat. Giving sadaqah, giving charity. How does it increase? That first of all, Allah has encouraged it. So many verses we have learned so far, which encourage us, command us, instruct us to give sadaqah. So يُرْبِ صَدَقَاتِ. He gives increase to صَدَقَاتِ. He promotes صَدَقَاتِ. Secondly, يُرْبِ صَدَقَاتِ. How? By giving barakah in the money that is acquired through halal, and from it, صَدَقَةٌ is given. That money from which صَدَقَةٌ is given, what happens? Allah puts barakah in it. And thirdly, يُرْبِ صَدَقَاتِ. How? That when a person gives even one habba, one date, tiny thing as a sadaqah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies the reward for it. One tiny thing turns into a huge mountain. وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. So we see over here that Allah destroys interest and gives increase to the charities, to the sadaqat. We looked at these two parts individually. Now let's do a comparison. That first of all, Allah destroys interest and gives increase to charities. How? By making interest haram and thus diminishing it, and on the other hand, promoting and encouraging the giving of sadaqat. We learn in the Quran, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ. Say that al-khabith, impure, it is not equal to what? Al-tayyib. The good things and the impure things, they're not equal at all. Even though the abundance of al-khabith may please you. Even if there is a lot of money that is acquired by interest, and even if it may look very beautiful, even if it may look very appealing, still it is khabith. Still Allah has made it haram. Still it is unlawful for you. Why? Because interest destroys society. Riba destroys society. It destroys humanity. It destroys compassion. This is why Allah has made it unlawful. And what does it lead to? Selfishness. It leads to taking benefit from the other person's hardship and so many other vices. And on the other hand, when a person gives sadaqah, what happens? He is giving, he is sharing, he is concerned, he is being generous, he is being compassionate, he is being kind, he is preferring other people over himself. He is looking out for others. This is why Allah has made riba haram and charity, He has promoted it so much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to completely eliminate interest from the society and He wishes to increase sadaqah in the society. This is why He has made riba haram. We see that our deen is based upon compassion and well-wishing. What is it based on? Compassion and well-wishing. Give zakat, give sadaqah, speak the truth, smile. Why? Because it's being compassionate. Our deen teaches us to recognize the rights of the others, not be selfish and just take, take, take. Why? Because a Muslim ummah is like one body. If one part is suffering, everyone should feel the pain. If one person is suffering financially, you should also feel for him. And when you feel for him, give him something that you have. Help him out, instead of benefiting from the difficult situation that he's in. We see that when a person gives sadaqah, why does he give it? For the sake of Allah. And when a person is taking interest, why is he taking it? To increase his wealth, without taking care of the other. One person is giving for the benefit of the akhirah. Another person is receiving for the benefit of dunya. One person is being generous. Another person is being selfish. So obviously, because the two are completely different, one brings a lot of benefit and the other promotes a lot of harm, therefore, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah has forbidden interest and He has promoted and encouraged sadaqat. And we see that the Prophet ﷺ, towards the end of his life, this is when riba was made completely unlawful. And sadaqat were promoted so much that at the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, what happened? There was nobody to receive zakat. Not even one person who was eligible for zakat. Why? Because there was so much sadaqah. People were giving so much. There was no culture of riba. There was a culture of giving. That nobody needed zakat. Can you imagine? Complete elimination of poverty. Complete elimination. This is why يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Secondly, we see يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ means that Allah destroys riba. How? By making it an act of great sin. Because it's haram. When a person deals with it, he is earning sin. And when a person gives sadaqah, what happens? He gets reward for sadaqah. When a person deals with interest, he acquires great sin. And when a person gives sadaqah, then he acquires great reward. As for the reward, we have read earlier that وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah increases for whomsoever He wills, as much as He wants. Then the third thing is that يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ, that when a person deals with interest, then what happens? The barakah from his wealth is eliminated. And when a person gives sadaqah, then there is barakah in his wealth. If you look at zakat, what does it mean literally? Purity and growth. Apparently you're giving a part of your wealth away, but what are you actually doing? You're actually increasing your wealth. There is barakah in it. Which is why sometimes we see that people who live in a simple small house within their means, or even if it's a house that they've rented, small, they will be more peaceful compared to someone who might be living in a huge house, but they've bought it through haram. Similarly, there could be a person who has earned a degree through haram money, but at the end, he doesn't have any peace, he doesn't have any happiness. Why? Because for the next 20 years, for the next 15 years, for the next 10 years, what is he thinking? I have to pay off my loan. I have to pay off my debt. Just the other day, I met this lady who said that I've been working for the past 20 years non-stop. 20 years non-stop. And I asked why. She said, because we have to pay off our mortgages and our bills and our this and our that. Mortgages. 20 years. And she said, this is like slavery. I think this is slavery by choice. This is slavery by choice. If we want, we can live within the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us peacefully, being content with what we have. But if we want more and more beyond our means, then what's going to happen? Despite everything that we have, there is going to be no barakah, no peace, no sukoon in our family lives, in our social lives at all. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِّبَى لِيَرْبُوا فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَرْبُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. That which you give as riba, so that it increases, it does not increase in the sight of Allah. When a person deals with interest, why? Apparently, so that he can get more money. What does Allah say? It doesn't increase in the sight of Allah. There is no barakah in that money. No barakah, no happiness, no contentment, no satisfaction, no peace in life, no peace in the family. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ أَثِيمٍ. And Allah does not like every kafar and every athim. The word kafar is from kufr. What does kufr mean? Disbelief. But kufr also means ingratitude. It also means ingratitude. So kafar, it's not just kafir. Kafir is disbeliever or ungrateful person. But kafar is one who is extremely disbelieving. One who is extremely ungrateful. Kathirul kufr, azimul kufr. And athim. Athim again is not just athim, but it's athim. Who is athim? One who commits a lot of ithm. Kathirul ithm. And remember that ithm in particular is with regards to those sins that are done against ibad, against the servants, in the rights of the people, in the rights of the creation. Now why is this mentioned at the end of this ayah? There is a connection between the beginning of the ayah and the end of the ayah. At the beginning Allah says that Allah destroys riba and He promotes sadaqat. And then He says Allah does not like every person who is extremely ungrateful and a person who is very sinful. You see, when a person is not satisfied with what Allah has given him, what does he do? He tries to get more. And sometimes in trying to get more, what does he do? He ends up earning more through haram, dealing with interest. What does it show? He is ungrateful for what Allah has given him. He's not satisfied with it. And so, he doesn't care about the decree of Allah, what Allah has given him. And what does he do? He goes on trying to gain more, even if it means trying to gain through haram. So it shows the lack of appreciation in the person who deals with riba for the blessings that Allah has given him. Kaffar, extremely ungrateful. And athim as well, sinful as well, because how is he earning more? How? By committing injustice against others. Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
يمحق الله الربا ويربي الصدقات والله لا يحب كل كفار أثيم.
So we see that interest and sadaqah, they're completely different. They're the exact opposites. And riba cannot be eliminated from the society until and unless people become those who give. People become giving and caring for others. Because when there is a culture of giving, then the culture of receiving, that reduces, that diminishes. In our deen, we are taught that in times of need, what should we do? Help each other out. Like for the other, what you like for yourself. But what is riba? That in the time of the need of the other person, benefit from him. Don't like for him what you like for yourself. It's an opportunity for you, so gain more money. The poor family needs a house. The poor family needs this. So, make money. When there is a culture of sadaqah, of giving zakat, everybody gives 2.5%, then there would be no poverty. And on the other hand, the more and more riba is given and taken, it promotes poverty. That people who have just graduated from school, they're in debt. They're not even in their 20s sometimes, and they're already in debt. And they don't get out of debt for years and years, because there is one loan on top of the other, on top of the other. And sometimes if we just become content with what we have, then there could be more sukoon in our lives.
Assalamu alaikum. Just hearing this, I was getting goosebumps. Like, you know, it's such a big sin. And I was thinking, you know, we were told about sadaqah in the previous ayahs. I was thinking, I was like, you know, why didn't we get told about sadaqah after? So, you know, the bad news gets overpowered by the good news. But then I was like, no, there's a reason behind it. So I was thinking about that. And I was like, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the good news first, so that, you know, we have a means of increasing our wealth before He tells us that you can't have this other side. So it's sort of like He didn't just say you can't have interest because, like, it's bad. Like, He explained all the reasons behind it. And then He also tells you, you know, because as humans, we think of that as like a means of increasing our wealth, whereas He already told us beforehand in the previous ayahs that as a means of increasing our wealth is sadaqah, and that's the right way to do it.
A believer should not just be dunya oriented, meaning he shouldn't just be looking at the gain in dunya, but he should be looking at the profit in the akhirah, which is why sadaqah has been mentioned in so much detail, that whatever you give, you're going to get that in the hereafter many, many times more. And in this dunya, if you try to get more through riba, it's going to take the barakah from your wealth in this dunya, and there's great punishment in the hereafter. When a person is not content with what he has, and he's just focused on getting more and more and more, then one thing leads to the other. He wants a house, and then he wants furniture, and then he wants renovation, and then he wants a car because he lives in that house, and then he wants this and he wants that. And he forgets that eventually he's going to die. Eventually this house is going to be left behind him. I mean, really, how long am I going to live in this house? How long am I going to enjoy this piece of furniture? How long am I going to enjoy this car? I get this new car, next year it'll be old. There'll be a newer version, a newer model. The things of this dunya, they involve a person in such a way that he's not able to get out of them. And when his focus is on the akhirah, when he starts giving, then it's a completely different person.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. I'm a business student, and alhamdulillah, I'm in my fourth year. So I've taken a lot of business classes, and professors, no matter how nice they seemed, like whenever we dealt with interest, I'd always ask, you know, why is there interest? And they're like, how can you lend your money to someone, you know, without expecting something? So it's kind of like their minds are even the right mindset. In the right mindset where they have to have something back. They can't even just like give someone money out of the goodness of their heart. Something she said about the car is that if you buy a brand new car, once you drive it off the lot, like for a second, it depletes $10,000. Like you say, you buy it for $60,000. Once you drive it off, it's $50,000 is the highest you can sell it for. So it's like, subhanAllah, you have all the interest and you can't even sell it for a high price.
Realize how, subhanAllah, how perfect the religion is and how perfect the commands of Allah is, because in His system, there would be no poverty if you would just do what He has commanded. And if you look at the economic crisis right now, I mean, how does that all happen? I mean, interest was main cause of it. And it really also made me realize, because in Germany, for instance, on a tax form, if you say you're part of a church, they deduct some amount of money from your earnings. So a lot of people in Germany, or I know a lot of young people who are not religious anymore, and like, why am I in a church in the first place? They're just taking my money, and they drop out of the church because this is selfish thinking. And it also makes you realize that you think about society in this context as well, because you give, so it's for the whole society. And with that thought, like dropping out of church, everybody's so selfish and just thinks about what I'm going to get.
Exactly. And when it comes to giving sadaqah, you're concerned about what can I give.
I just came to know about the interest, like in detail now, but just a few days ago, my dad talked to some sheikh, I mean, very well-known scholar. He justified interest, like mortgage, to my dad. He said, living in North America, we have no choice, so we can have one house on mortgage that you're living in. That is okay, but you cannot have a house on mortgage which you can rent off. And we were trying to tell our dad that it doesn't matter. I mean, we can live in a rented house, rather than a mortgage, doesn't matter, you know, your needs or whatever. But, I mean, we were trying to explain to him in that way, and the person or sheikh, whatever, he said, told my dad that you can have one house on mortgage. So my dad is, you know, double-minded again now. And now when I read it, like, detail now, it just, you know, the floor just completely swept away beneath my feet. Like, what's going on here? Like, I mean, it's a sin, great big sin. And I'm wondering where that sheikh came from. He's justifying it instead of, you know, stopping it. Completely, I'm really, like, I'm shivering. Like, I'm really...
Unfortunately, this is the case with many. A person could say, I need a car, I need this, I need that. There are so many other people who have been renting for years and years. And what's the big deal? So what if you don't have a house in your name? So what? رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. A person who wants a house in the Akhirah, he doesn't care about having a house in the dunya if he cannot afford it. What's the point of getting a house through haram? And we've read the ayah. It states very clearly. We see people who are so busy in trying to pay off their mortgage, trying to pay off their lease or this or that, that they don't have time to spend with their children, with their families, with their friends, for the deen. And so many things are compromised. So many people commit suicide because of this reason. They're working constantly. They're tired, they're sick, they still have to go to work because they have to pay the mortgage. And some people might say, oh, this is not the case with us, but there are so many people out there. I mean, this person that I met, I see her almost every other day. She lives close to my house and she looks so tired all the time. She's sick. She's so old. She's diabetic. She's been working for 20 years nonstop because she has mortgages to pay. Just imagine, when a person gives sadaqah, ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. And also, what did we learn today? وَمَا تُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. Except to see the face of Allah. And when a person has done haram on the other hand, then Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Indeed, those people who believe, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they do righteous good deeds. What are righteous good deeds? Those that are approved by the Qur'an and the Sunnah. What else do they do? وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ, and they establish the salah. وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ, and they give the zakah as well. لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. For them there is reward with their Lord. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. Over here Allah says about those people who believe and do righteous deeds as well. Iman alone is not enough. And remember that if a person is committing righteous deeds and at the same time he's acquiring haram, he's earning haram, then are his righteous deeds going to be acceptable? Then Allah says, establishing prayer, أَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ. With regards to salah, we learn in Surah Al-Ankabut, Ayah 45, Allah says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Indeed, prayer prohibits immorality and wrongdoing. If a person performs the salah, then what happens? He drifts away, he moves away from immorality and wrongdoing. And riba, obviously, is fahsha and it's also munkar. It's fahsha because it's a major sin. It's clearly wrong. And it's munkar, even the intellect doesn't accept it. The aql does not accept it. The sharia does not accept it. And if a person performs the salah properly, fulfilling all of its conditions and pillars, then definitely it will affect his life positively. And he will move away from consuming haram.
وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ,
and they give the zakah. Zakat is being mentioned over here, and it's the opposite of riba. Riba is to take, and zakat is to give. Zakat and riba are completely different in origin, in nature, and in purpose. The reason behind taking riba, the reason behind giving zakat, the nature of riba, the nature of zakat, the purpose of riba, the purpose of zakat, they're completely different. How are they different? Zakat is paid in fulfillment of Allah's command. It's a fard. It's an obligation. And riba is what? What is riba? Is it an act of obedience? It's haram. It's a major sin. Then, zakat is paid. Why? To seek the pleasure of Allah. And what does riba do? It announces war with Allah. That whoever takes riba, he's not earning the pleasure of Allah. What is he doing? He's declaring war against Allah and His Messenger. Zakat shows concern for the needy people in the society. And what does riba do? It shows selfishness and heedlessness. That a person is only concerned about himself. He doesn't care about those people who are needy. Just imagine there's a young person. He wants to get an education. He wants to learn something. And even if you give him a loan, you give it on interest. So that by the time he's done, he's in debt. This is completely different. Zakat promotes compassion, concern for those who are needy. And riba promotes selfishness, heedlessness. What does zakat lead to? Zakat leads a person to increase in iman. People realize that it's a part of iman. And when a person commits that which is haram, he drifts away from iman. He drifts away from Allah. Zakat promotes brotherhood. It leads to unity. And what does riba do? It leads to disunity. Sometimes people, when they're involved in haram, they don't like facing others. Why? Because if they face them, other people are going to tell them. Right? They're going to tell them off. So it promotes disunity. Then zakat, what does it do? There are visible signs of economic growth, economic well-being in the society. And riba leads to poverty and debt. It leads to excessive greed. It leads to exploitation of the needy, of the poor. Zakat leads to circulation of wealth. That if you have this much wealth, you can't just keep it to yourself. You must give a part of it away to those who need. And riba is, I have, and I'm taking more, and I'm taking more, and I'm taking more. So those people who believe, do righteous deeds, pray salah, give zakah, lahum ajruhum inda rabbihim. For them there is their reward with their Lord. Wala khawfun alayhim, wala hum yahzanun. And on the contrary, those people who deal with interest, what happens? They live their lives in khawf, and they live their lives in huzn. There is no peace in their lives. Family, social, work life, any life. There is no peace. There is no happiness. And they're stuck in a vicious circle. One leads to another. One debt, one loan, one credit card leads to another. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. And remember that when it comes to riba, it's not just about receiving riba that is haram. Because many people justify that over here in the Quran it has been said, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى. So receiving riba obviously is haram. But giving riba, you have to give. I needed that loan, I need that house, I need that car, so I can give. But the fact is that dealing with riba, whether it is in consuming or giving, both are clearly haram. There is a hadith that is mentioned in Sahih Muslim in which the Prophet ﷺ cursed the one who accepts riba and the one who pays it. The Prophet ﷺ cursed the person who accepts riba and also pays it. So a person who is accepting riba, paying riba, living on riba, then how can there be peace in his life? He's been cursed by the Messenger of Allah, far away from the mercy of Allah. That the act of riba is so wrong that both the people, the one who is giving and the one who is taking, both are wrong. From another hadith we learn, which is mentioned in Tirmidhi, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah has cursed the one who accepts riba, the one who gives riba, the two witnesses of it, and the one who writes it, records it, deals with it. Recitation.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُا الزَّكَاةَ لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِندَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ.
Sometimes we see that people who live on riba, who get their houses on riba, for example. And even if you justify it with the fact that, okay, it's a need, and they need at least one house, they're living in it, they're not using it as an investment, so it's okay, it's permissible. But sometimes we see that the man is working, the woman is working. The woman is being forced to work, she has to work, and what happens? She comes back home, she's tired, and the man and the woman, they're always fighting, always arguing. I've seen this with my own eyes in so many families, so many people. Things were perfectly fine when they were back home. And as soon as they came here, and they got a house, and they got an apartment, and they got this, and then they got that, what happened? the husband and wife, they're drifting away from each other. More and more problems. And if a person is content with less, I mentioned that hadith to you earlier with regards to begging, that when a person is content with less, then Allah makes him content. Man istaghna, aghnahu Allah. Whoever is content, Allah makes him content. A person did not know and he has dealt with riba in the past, then obviously we learned that falahu ma salaf. The past is over. He doesn't have to go back, calculate riba and get rid of it. No. It's done. It's over. But if he has to pay a loan, which is on riba, then he must try his best to pay it off as quickly as possible. Even if it means by taking a halal loan from someone. I know of people who have done their entire university like this. They borrowed money from uncles and friends and relatives, and then they paid them off as soon as possible. The problem with us is that we take the loan and we still want to live a very luxurious life. We have a license, we have to have a car. We have a car, we need a phone. We just don't need any phone, we need that particular phone. And then we need a laptop, despite the fact there's a computer at home and there are computers all over the campus in university. We don't want to live simple lives. We just want more and more. And the more things we want, the more we have to spend. And obviously, then we can't pay off our loans. Everybody's caught up in this race of living an extravagant life. I want this and I want that and this. I have to get this loan and I'm going to pay it off. But as soon as a person finds out, he must pay it off as soon as possible. He must not delay it. And if needed, he can even stop, for example, school for the next 2 years so that he can pay off that debt and then he can continue school. There are people who take 6 years or 5 years to do their degree, which could be done in 3 to 4 years. Why? Because they're working along the way. And you notice how the previous ayahs, they teach us about sadaqah. And the best sadaqah is to who? الَّذِينَ أُحْصِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Who are they? Students of knowledge. Obviously, Ashab al-Suffa are much above compared to a person who is just going to a university. But, I mean, a person who is gaining knowledge and he needs money, he needs to study. That if you are a relative, if you are a close friend, if you are their parent, sometimes parents don't support their own children. And the children have to go get loans on interest. If you're renting a place and that particular place is on mortgage and whatever rent you give goes in mortgage, that's not your problem. Your transaction with them is halal. But I'm just amazed at how prevalent this is. How prevalent this is, despite the fact that it's haram, because we have made it something so easy. We have justified it. And therefore, every second person is involved in it somehow or the other. And somebody asked me that, you know, Al-Huda should start a fund so that people can borrow money and they can buy houses. If you can't afford a house, don't buy one. Do you have to buy a house? I mean, there are so many people who don't own houses. So many. They've lived on rent all their lives and they've survived. Why is it important to own a house? Why? Even with the mortgage, you don't own the house. The problem is that we just look at everybody who owns a house or who owns two houses and we also need one, or who has a bigger house, and then it never ends. You have a small apartment, then you want a townhouse, then you want a semi, then you want a full house, and then we forget the fact that we're here only temporarily and a permanent house is not going to help us. It's not. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who have believed. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you people who have iman. If you have iman, then you must do what Allah is commanding you to do. You must prove your iman. And remember the address, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا What does that show? That the command that is being mentioned is a requirement of iman. You must do it. Otherwise your iman is incomplete. It is deficient. There is something wrong in your iman.